Education of our children doesn't begin and end at academia. There is a spiritual responsibility on each parent and teacher to nurture and train a young soul spiritually. This is called Chinuch. Join Rabbi G every Monday at 2 p.m. as he explores education and Chinuch for parents and teachers. Torah isn't education, it's transformation.
101.9 Chinuch with Rabbi G. We are back, as we do every Monday between 2 to 3, where we discuss education, we discuss Chinuch, we discuss what we need to do for our next generation. How can we influence them? How can we influence ourselves, our families, our communities, and just bring ourselves to be in a better world, in a better place? Today we are kind of ending off the school year, pretty much, in this week. Yet, we are on this show already looking at next school year, because education ends and starts and ends and starts, and we never actually are off guard. We always are thinking about our children, always thinking what is the right way forward for them. One of the big discussions we have, and we are going to touch base on that a bit, is when it comes to education, what parents choose for their children, when it comes to mainstream schooling, homeschooling, alternative, and everything in between. And it's always been a debate and a discussion from a academic point of view, from a professional point of view, from we've spoke on the show pretty much with different professionals, educators around that area. What the angle we haven't covered yet is to actually understand the requirements, the regulations, the rules, and the logic when it comes to the South African rule and the government's policy, and how are we addressing the schools and hoping that addressing, making sure actually that our kids have the best education they can, that we have the best, we can choose the best for them. And to understand more about that and the Bella Act coming up, what is the Bella Act? What are we talking about? How does it affect our children? I'm going to be speaking today to the one person who actually knows and can guide us on this. Her name is Maria Sukris. She is she was a parliament member, very involved in government policies from the Western Cape, and was quite involved and knowledgeable when it comes to the Bella Act as well. And we're going to speak to her and understand what are we talking about when it comes to the next school year in preparing our children and our families and our communities. Good afternoon, Maria. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Good afternoon, Rabbi. Good afternoon to your listeners as well. It's a privilege to be on your show.
Thank you so much, and I really appreciate you taking the time to be with us today. So let's get to know you and the connection to the Bella Act. You were a parliament member up to the last elections, very involved in education topics and many more, actually, I've seen when I looked up. So where does your link come into education and into Bella Act from your work?
I came into Parliament serving on three portfolio committees, basic education. I was a permanent member on, as well as social development, and then an alternate on health. My focus for the party that I was a part of was on basic education, like I said, as a permanent member, and then actively, obviously, because the legislation went through the sixth administration, the Bella Act, actively involved in the lawmaking process and the public hearings, as well as the education portfolio in general. Yeah.
Okay. Wow, amazing. So tell us a bit, what is the Bella Act? I'm so interested to hear it from the person who was involved in making it, the vision around it, the actual rules. Let's get a bit of an understanding.
I think you are speaking to one of the people that are that were the most vehemently opposed and drove the campaign against the Basic Education Laws Amendment Act.
Okay.
So I'm not a proponent for the act or an advocate for the act at all. Just to give some background, it was drafted in 2013. It went to the first draft, and then it went to public submissions in 2017. Since 2017, up until the process in Parliament, and even now, there has not been much changes to the Act. This is one of the critiques that we had, is that the Basic Education Law Amendment Act is not based or does not address the challenges and the changing environment of education, which is a global phenomena, of course, but also specific to South Africa in terms of the unique challenges that we face, the very poor education outcomes that we have in the majority, especially in our public schooling system. And it addresses none of the critical need for reform that is desperately needed. So one of the biggest criticisms that we had against it was that, you know, so much has happened since the first submissions or the first time the legislation was put out for public submission. I mean, you had COVID, it changed the education landscape. You have online schools now. You have much more and more parents opting to homeschool. That number's on the increase. And we know that based on our current budget deficits, so the money issue, where our money is spent, the programs, where it's spent, that in essence, you need a total and a radical reform. This legislation is not that, regardless of what Mr. Lesufi and his friend says, or Kasatu and Satu. So I am not a very good person. If you want a proponent, maybe the other side, I would
I would love to hear actually what would your vision be and what are the things that we should be looking at to change and how can we adopt and see the things that are beneficial for the education and for our society.
One of the things that I said at an independent alternative education conference is that in politics, in business, I come from a business perspective. You are always, forecasting and you're basing your plans on what the future looks like. You are always preemptively looking at how do you grow the business based on the future. In government, it seems, we are always looking at the problem in hindsight. So through legislation, it seems we want to fix what went wrong. And it's exactly the same with the Basic Education Laws Amendment Act. I should say to the listeners right from the get-go that one of the biggest tells of exactly the mindset that drives our politicians and policymakers, the one of continuously looking to the past rather than looking at the future when we're making policy and legislation to shape the future and to, to better and improve things for the future generation is actually in this act, because you hear people like the protagonist of like Mr. Lesufi and Kasatu saying, this is a long time coming. This is transformative. This is, it's about racial integration. It's about what didn't happen in 94. South Africa is no longer the South Africa after 1994. It is a new South Africa that finds itself with unique challenges, with diverse communities. And so your education system needs to adapt to the new reality that is before you. You can't be looking to the back. And when we look at education now, we have education is one of the sectors. It is my contention. It is one of the sectors that has the biggest possibility for us to grow entrepreneurs, education entrepreneurs, that speaks to the challenges that we have and that can turn them into positive opportunity. But we sit with an ideological challenge in the current government of national unity driven by the African National Congress that speaks to this communist Marxist ideology where the state owns everything and the state is big and the state has the answer, and the Bella Act just does that, centralizes power to an ineffective, incapable state while taking more and more power away from communities and parents.
It's almost difficult to understand how someone would oppose what you're saying. And when we look around in our country currently, the level of unemployed people, the level of failures that we're seeing and failing in schools, and the amount of percentage of kids who are not getting the appropriate education. I want to ask you, as someone who comes from the business world as well, is if we understand that education is a tool for a better future and a tool to help our kids become independent adults that contribute to the country, to the family, to the nations, productive people, at what point do we say, well, our tools are not working, we need to change them?
Oof. I cannot tell you how that question invigorates the fire inside of me, because this is exactly what I feel is needed in South Africa. Such a radical shift is needed when you consider that we have structural unemployment. So we don't have unemployment because there are no jobs. We have unemployment because there is not the necessary skills that the economy needs, that the industries need, that are critical and vital to our economy, that our learning institutions, tertiary, are not producing the amount of critical skills that we need for our economy to grow beyond where it is. We have 18 million people on grants. Consider this, 18 million South Africans are dependent on government grants to survive.
That's nearly a third of the nation.
Exactly. Consider the following, that our current political system as it stands, and I don't have the number in front of me, I'm unfortunately just sitting with my cell phone, but the current number of people that vote. Remember now, change is dependent on people. Change is dependent on the decisions that people make. Decisions that people make, the quality decisions that will not only improve their lives, but that of their community, are based on knowledge and education. It's based on what we know. If a parent, a mother, if you talk gender-based violence, if you talk about gang violence in the Western Cape, that organized crime that has taken over our communities entirely. It has spilled over into the formal sector, where in the V&A waterfront, you have businesses actually paying organized crime networks in order to be protected. Then your question is, it is right about at this point where you're actually beyond the turning point, where the kind of people we choose to serve in our nation is dependent on the education of the electorate, and that education doesn't necessarily need to be formal. My mother couldn't write her name, but she could make an X, but you could never fool her.
Correct, and that's the tools we need. And I want to ask you, you know, between the lines, it's almost arising the question, what is the approach that we are taking today towards mental education as well? Meaning you could provide, let's say you even would provide the skills that are needed in the work, but if the child doesn't come out with motivation to work, doesn't come out with the feeling that I can achieve anything I want, that my brain is just like a muscle, even if I can't do it today, I could train it enough to get there. And that drive, we're not going to get anywhere. Is there a focus at all today within the educational system on actually teaching youngsters you can do it, you can fight for yourself, you could create a better future, you can lead, you can make things happen?
No. We have a singular, inflexible system. And this is what people like Mr. Lesufi don't get. We have these, firstly, we have bureaucrats that puts together legislation from their high towers that becomes a pet project that determines the next decade of our country. And then we have politicians stuck in the past, and the only reality they have is that they have worked, or they have been politicians. They have basically internally been so good at the toxic, dysfunctional politics that they make themselves to the top of the heap, and they become the leaders in our country. And then they spew everything that has to do with praising a system that is actually failing. In no other sector would you find that you have a 79 to 118 billion rand deficit over a term that is now clear over the in education, and you don't say that there is a problem. We need to cut spending of programs that are ineffective. We need to look at monitoring and evaluation. Are we actually monitoring and evaluating the right things, or are we having a top-heavy system where we have bureaucrats in positions where they are not accountable to the electorate at all, but they're driving the agenda, and at the same time, they do not have any performance measure for the programs that they are proposing that are measured to a performance matrix.
It is
a problem.
So where is the gap between the reality and between what's happening with parents? Because South Africa has a history of people being able to stand up for their rights, to march, to demonstrate, to get what they need in order to have a better future for their community and to be respected. Yet we have millions of parents who are having young children, and whenever they think about their children, they must question themselves, what future do they have for them in the workplace, in their abilities? And yet we're not seeing that much of a movement of parents saying, we can't allow this happen, we can't sleep at night, we don't know what's going to be, we need to make sure that we have the freedom to educate our children, we have the responsibility to educate our children, to make sure they have the best future for them. Where's the gap between the reality and what people want for their families?
People have come to the place where they think there are a good section of our community that think they are that can afford to. You can't actually afford it, but they think that they insulated from the mess. Because we are insulated from the mess because I pay my taxes, I manage my own life, my dirt, you just need to come and fetch on time, and you need to look after my streets, and that's it, and I vote, and I forget about it. We don't live in that reality now. We need, if you've ever looked for a cause in your life, if you're sitting at home and you've ever looked and wondered about the purpose of your life, and as Christians, and especially as people who share the Judeo-Christian principles, we always look for meaning beyond our daily existence because we know God has put us here for a reason. And right. I say to people the following. I say we need to get out of the comfort zone where we think that the change that we're hoping to see is going to happen in Parliament. It is very clear in South Africa it won't. We have people who are voting because they're hungry, they need a meal. They will give that vote to any person who gives them a food parcel or a meal, and it happens in South Africa. It's the scandal of our democracy. Wow. The gap is that many people think that it won't affect them, but in the long run it does, and right now in South Africa it affects every single one of us. Our crime levels are up, our gender-based violence levels, all of those things can be routed right back to the stability of family, the role of parents, and why government should not have more power to decide on the education of a child, but the parents of that child.
And respecting their culture. Maria, we do need to take, I'm just going to stop because we need to continue this. We just need to take a short ad break. And when we come back, we'll continue this discussion and dive a bit more into what we can do and for people that are concerned, etc. Short break, and we will be right back.
Torah isn't education, it's transformation. This is Chai Chinuch with Rabbi G.
So, Maria, hearing the discussion that we have right now, and to any parent who's sitting out there and says, well, this is very worrying, and I do want to get an alternative education, but I know that if my child is under six, potentially it would be criminal to have a home-based education or homeschooling. What do I do? Or if I realize that sending my child to public school will put them at risk of being part of the big percentage that is not managing. What are the options I have today? What can I do to ensure a better future for my own children?
The first thing that I need to say to parents, and there's a lot of concern across the country when the president signed the act into law, is that home education forms part of the education system. So it is the right of every parent to decide whether they want their child, in what form of education they will give their child. And if homeschooling is the option that they look for, they have the right to do so.
At all ages?
At all ages, at all ages.
Okay.
The big one that we have right now is the fact that the government is making grade R compulsory, and now I need to give you the bigger picture to show you again, and I'm highlighting the problem so that people just understand how the current thinking, the political direction, is totally at odds with progress. So when we, because I hear people, and I'm speaking to the wrong crowd, the people that I, wrong crowd in this way, there's a lot of South Africans that looks like me in color and comes from the same background that I come from. Now, I'm a colored woman from the Western Cape, and I have, I am the total mix of, I say I'm the total South African story, because I've got all the blood in me. I'm okay. A total mix, properly mixed. I can speak to all things. But
parts of the whole rainbow.
I'm the proper rainbow. So the issue that we have is that we are still being fed. People that has come out of oppression and lived under the apartheid system are still being fed the same kind of lies that, you know, the white man is responsible for where we are. Apartheid is the problem, even though we are 30 years into a new democracy, right? And why I say that I'm speaking to the wrong, possibly to the wrong crowd, and possibly not, because there are some similarities in communities, but that's for another show, where people are so comfortable and some apathic is the word, apathies in Afrikaans, I don't know how to properly say it in English.
Okay.
Where people don't really, really get it, that we the more uninvolved we stay and do not hold government officials accountable, the more we allow them to get away with the current mess that is being created in our country. But anyway, so the big issue that people need to understand is that the current system, education system, needs a total reform. And one of the biggest opportunities that we have in this country, and one of the sectors that is a sector that can give a lot of, that can add to our economy, is education. And homeschooling, and I'm a homeschool mom, homeschooling is one of the most effective ways of really zooming in and focusing on your child, especially if it's a special needs child, or if you are like ourselves, we've made the decision based on our faith and based on how we want our child to grow up in our faith and in the values that are important to us to get her homeschooled. So it is an avenue that is open to parents. It's not an avenue that is closed. The Basic Education Laws Amendment Act, however, seeks to make it much more difficult, complex, and also it will cost more to homeschool. But the fight is not over. It is a fight, as you can hear, that we are still very much involved in to try and educate the department so that they understand homeschooling better, because they haven't done their job in terms of a social environmental impact assessment on homeschooling, complete, they haven't. It's one of the criticisms that we've lodged against the Basic Education Laws Amendment Act, and that has not been adhered to. So yes, parents still have that opportunity. They should, however, be very aware that South Africa, and I say this with a lot of love to a lot of people, we are beyond apartheid, and we are beyond white people, and we are beyond the normal, I call Marxist, communist, socialist nonsense that is being spewed across our television screens by leaders who have no vision for this country and all they have is to lodge onto the pain of the past. We are beyond that. So it will take a movement of mothers, fathers, and parents to understand that education, whether it be if you decide on public education because you can't afford private and maybe your circumstances are different, if you do public education, to be involved in the choosing of the SGBs in your school, be involved in that and demand accountability, ensure that the people that you choose at that level, that they will have your interest at heart. And then secondly, if you do alternative education, which I believe we need to encourage and government should enable because it's the answer for the crisis, if you choose that, there are a number of different avenues that parents can choose. But we will only win and we will only reform a system if we start getting the future for us. Is up to us. We will have to create a movement of people who believe in alternative education.
Correct. And to say that, in a way, you know, we could look at it from both directions. One, we could say, well, we need to educate the parliament and we need to educate the decision makers about homeschooling and about the benefits and how that will help South Africa. At the same time, we could also say, well, at the end of the day, politicians want to be elected, and if that's what the public want, then that's what the public will get. So it sounds almost that you are speaking to the right crowd, and we do need to create that strong voice for our communities and the strong voice that says, this is what we want. We want to have children and know that we are responsible enough to give them a better future. And we are responsible enough to be there for them and to make sure they get the tools that they need.
So. Exactly. I want to raise a million voices that fight for the principle, the Christian Judeo, I say Christian democratic principles, which has at the heart of it the freedom and the recognition of parental rights. You cannot build strong nations if families fall apart. And in our country, the legacy of apartheid is that the family has totally disintegrated. And it is a legacy of apartheid because we had migrant labor where men were sent off to Cape Town to work or on the mines, and the women were left at home. And we are paying a very high price for that in our communities today. In the colored community and in the black community, we have a very high single-headed household count. And many of the problems that we have is because of the breakdown of the family. So if we need a movement, and this is why it is also such a passionate pursuit of mine, to build the bridges between the Jewish community and our Christian communities, because we share so much in a spiritual heritage, in shared values, and we need a movement to create change that will take us to new government officials. We need more Jewish leaders in council. We need more in parliament.
If you say it, then I'm with you on that. 100%. So I think that you're correct. And you know, what we may be not realizing that sometimes every community on its own doesn't have the strength to create something and to move something. Yet, if we do get the communities together and if we do that, get the strong movement and stand up with everybody, then we will have a voice.
Absolutely. And I promise you, I'm not joking. I'm laughing, but it is something that I'm very serious about, that we need more women that will raise their hands, especially women that is already, that feels, what do I do with the second phase of my life? You have women that has reached 50, your kids are done with varsity, you've accumulated all the experience. Why are you not putting your hand up? We need another Helen Suzman. Why is it that we're not having more diverse people from the faith communities putting their hands up to be counted for parliament and for provincial parliament and for council? And because policy, remember, the lawmaking process are the lawmakers making them. The policies, the reason why these bureaucrats get away with it is because they take a piece of paper, they put it in front of a minister, and they say, this is good for you. And that minister, if she or he does not have the heart of the people that has sent them to parliament and the constitutional duty that they carry, if they don't take it seriously, they just sign off and they will say yes to things because either it's donor money behind it, or secondly, because, you know, sounds a great idea. We don't need those politicians anymore. We need people who love their communities, people who love people, and want better South Africa basis of race.
And they're ready to make a better South Africa. Maria, I think that some of the very important questions you raise we'll have to continue maybe even offline to discuss and get better answers than what we have today and create something and bridge communities and see what we can do to lead this forward. I just want to ask you, we do need to end, and it's been a fascinating discussion. Give me, in 30 seconds, what would be your dream and hope and wish for a better South Africa that you wish our next generation will have and know? And Maria, I think we lost you. Okay, so we will be continuing this discussion at a later point. Fascinating discussion today. That was Maria Circus, who is a ex-parliament member in the National Assembly of South Africa, was in parliament very close to the decision makers discussing the Bella Act, and very clear, loud voice about schooling, education, homeschooling, and discussing the better future for South Africa. Thank you, Maria, so much for being with us today. Thank you, Sena, for putting the show together. Thank you, Vusi, for running a perfect show. And thank you to the listeners who are with us week after week, 2 to 3. So stay safe, and we will be back next week, Monday, 2 to 3, with our next topic.